Good morning, and welcome to ASI Radio.
Who are you?
Zing! All of a sudden, I have energy. Happy Tuesday, you guys.
Happy Tuesday.
Well, I am here in the studio with an alternate cast of characters as Melinda Lygos, Joe Haley, and Andy Cohn are all in Long Beach for the ASI show. So I am here with Kathy Houston, the editor of Advantages. Hey, Kath.
Hey.
Jakey Kralik, our marketing's creative director, just back from South by Southwest. You were on the show with us last week. How's it going, Jakey?
Things are good.
Great.
Hanging in there. Why are you so chipper?
I had a lot of coffee this
morning. She had the large Dunkin' Donuts this morning.
Is Monkey up and around playing now?
A little.
The cat. He's been on the mint.
Yeah.
And we have Chris Ruvo with us, who is has just moved over to a new position with us in the editorial department.
Yes.
Now working with Kathy Houston, you poor bastard.
I know. It's been just as bad as everybody told me it would be, let me tell you.
And Chris is our senior writer on staff and a fantastic writer, and most importantly, the winner of a Neal Award, which is like the Pulitzer Prize.
Bring it home for Advantages next year, Chris. You better.
And
shall I flex?
It.
No one can see.
No.
Yeah. There's not much to flex, so, you know.
So we have a really special show today. We have Eric Wall is on the line, and he is, in addition to being the keynote speaker for our ASI Long Beach and Chicago shows, he's going to answer some questions for us, which we have prepared for him. And also, we have some great Facebook questions for him. But first, we're going to hear the news from Chris in 1 second.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. In the news this morning, top 40 distributor Cintas has reported its total sales for its fiscal third quarter increased 5.1% to $1.13 billion. The company's net income, meanwhile, soared 13.2% to $84.6 million. According to its earnings statement, Cintas's growth was spurred by a major rollout in its uniform direct sales segment. Also today, there's a new recall of plush animal toys. Georgia-based Gons USA has recalled three styles of its plush, grumpy cats because of a choking hazard. Gons, which is not an ASI-listed supplier, has received six reports of the eyes of grumpy cat toys coming off. The toys, which were all imported from China, can be returned for a refund. Next up, a continuing trend in advertising. A report from firm eMarketer predicts worldwide spending on mobile advertising will reach $31.5 billion this year. That's a 75% increase over 2013. eMarketer says Facebook and Google remain the dominant holders of mobile ad market share. Combined, their mobile ad revenues rose $6.9 billion last year alone. Finally this morning, be sure to check out three editions of Counselor Promogram this week, featuring team coverage from the ASI show Long Beach. Read Promogram today, tomorrow, and Thursday for all the latest happenings in California. Michelle, back to you.
Well, thanks, Chris.
That was really good.
And before we get to Eric, I'm just going to tell you guys a little bit about him. He's an internationally recognized graffiti artist, author, and entrepreneur, and he's grown to become one of the most sought-after corporate speakers available today. Eric's onstage painting seamlessly becomes a visual metaphor to the core of his message, encouraging organizations toward profitability through innovation and superior levels of performance. Over the past 10 years, he has shared his incredible message with the largest and most influential companies in the world, leaving behind his prized artwork as a reminder of his passion. So with us, we have Eric Wall on the line. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Honored to be here. Thank you. You guys are chipper this morning.
Well, thank you for joining us. And first, before anything else, I have to tick off your names here because I think they're fantastic. The Renoir of ROI, the Picasso of productivity, and the Warhol of Wall Street. Can I call you the Modigliani of marketing?
There you go.
Add that to your resume.
It's been a way to mash up art and business. Those have just been a few of the nicknames we've been mentioned in various different periodicals, so we've attached them to our bio. But it's been a fun ride.
That's great. I'm going to ask the first question, Eric. And you spent 8 years as a partner in a corporate law firm, which is kind of interesting, the juxtaposition between that and being an artist. But you were frustrated by the lack of innovative thought and corresponding profits you were seeing. So what's the number one block that companies have to fostering innovative thinking, and how can they overcome that?
Sure. It's reliance on outdated success formulas. We've been successful because of this or this model that historically has been our precedent. And it's that resistance to change, very, very difficult for the old guard to get their arms around or change patterns that have worked for them in the past. So that is far and away the number one block to tomorrow's successful formula.
Great. Kathy, you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Eric. What's the key link between creativity and higher corporate performance and profitability?
The key link is differentiation. And not what do we say we do different behind closed doors or in our board meeting, but what do our competitors say about us that differentiates us? What do our customers say about us that visibly differentiates us? And that's where my keynote is uniquely designed to be an extension of that messaging, where I don't just talk about the creative process or talk about how to be different. I actually show them real time how to unlock and unleash their mind to not only be different right now, but to also use those tools to be different 12 to 36 months from now. So it's an ongoing adaptive process.
Okay, Jake, you're up.
Nice. Eric, I got a question for you. Many of our listeners are entrepreneurs who are working in very creative fields, where they have to come up with these marketing campaigns and ideas to wow their clients on the fly and sales meetings. Can you maybe give your best tips for being creative on the fly?
Sure. And firstly, the nice thing about being sales professionals is most of these folks have probably are seasoned veterans. They've been doing this for a while, so they've seen all the tricks of the trade. And you have to assume that the people you're selling to have also seen or experienced a lot of those tricks. So, again, that's part of that old guard. I think the key to sales in the future is going to be trust, is going to be building that organic emotional connection. So what are the elements that they can use, not to kind of the old Glengarry, Glenn Ross ABCs of closing? I think that's where they start to feel the resistance. That's where they feel, oh, this I'm being sold to, as opposed to just organic, natural connections. So as a sales professional, when you're sitting across the table from someone, how can you build that emotional connection, that organic connection that maybe doesn't close this particular meeting, but you've built something where you have a long, long runway by which to be able to relate to them and sell to them in the future. So relationships, emotion, connection. I think that's the new paradigm for sales for the future.
Yeah, that's great stuff, Eric. This is Chris. Thanks for jumping on early this morning. It's probably 7:30 out there. But my question for you is, a big part of your message is that you encourage people to become visionary leaders for their companies. So what do you do to tell people, how can they become that creative executive who will really lead their company to greater success and growth?
That would be a painted picture. So that's a metaphor that I use, but it's leading by example and leading with passion, and then creating a painted picture, a very visceral picture for where we're looking to go. So not only you as a leader can identify it and point to what does it smell like, what does it feel like, what is it going to look like when we actually achieve this success, but then building that back in as a conductor of your orchestra, so everyone's able to harmonize those notes all to lead towards that painted picture that you as a leader have created. So all of your efforts are in alignment and have an emotional connection towards driving future discretionary effort. So that painted picture, I think, is the key towards great leadership.
Okay, so our listeners are also super busy like yourself. What would be your tip for how they can work smarter, not harder, so they can become more productive in less time?
This is great, and great question, because it's counterintuitive. They're busy. They're overloaded. We've got massive amounts of things going on, and we've got massive amounts of technology by which to be able to digest it, which was promised to us was going to make our lives easier, make it easier to dissect, to categorize, and by which to be able to execute. That's actually the opposite has come true with the more technology we have. The busier we've gotten, the more overloaded,
totally agree.
the more confusing it's gotten. So this is counterintuitive. We need to schedule time into that already busy schedule to be creative. And by being creative, I'm talking about writing, painting, sculpting, doing photography. Now, everyone listening might not think, I can't draw. I can't even draw a stick figure. I don't have time. I don't have creative bone in my body. That's not the point. This isn't going to be something that is published in a museum or in a magazine, or you're not going to sell it for millions of dollars. It's a matter of exercising the mind. So through that process of being creative, maybe just singing or dancing in the shower. Actually, I just sing in the shower. I wait till you dry and dancing out of the shower. But that process of actually letting yourself go, all of a sudden it opens up that part of our mind that is creative, that is more intuitive, has more emotional intelligence as opposed to simply straight intellectual intelligence. And so what that does is all of a sudden it opens our mind to new possibilities. And by doing that, there we start to see opportunities to differentiate. There we see opportunities by which to defamiliarize the ordinary or create disruptive pockets of innovation. So it's an actual process, that intentional time that we block off to be free, to be creative inside our already too busy schedules is an imperative part of the creative process. And that's not a tip. That's not an inside tip. That's a prescription for success in sales, in business, in leadership, as an entrepreneur. Scheduled creativity is a key differentiator, a key metric.
That's great, and we couldn't agree more. And the last question we're going to give to Jake Kralik, who lives his life by the mantra of disruptive innovation. Jakey.
It's funny because I think you kind of answered it. You want people to be creative, which would spark change. If people were to get stuck in this mentality of, you know, this is the way we do things, why change? What would be one thing you would tell those people? And I would ask you not to say something that would tell them to do art or to be creative, but what else would you ask someone to do in their life to foster change?
Sure. Defamiliarize the ordinary. Get outside your industry and look at the other game changers of other industries. Who's revolutionized already existing very mature marketplaces? Look at Uber. Look at Snapchat. Look at Tesla Motors. They've taken very mature industries and cycles, and they've radically changed the game by changing the dynamics of the model. So now in a forced association model, how in your sales business can you what is it that they've done? First of all, understand what is it that WhatsApp, Snapchat, Facebook, Google, what have they done? Why have they disrupted the marketplace? And then take those tools and plug them back in. Take that formula, plug it back in. How might that apply as a sales professional doing direct marketing? What are the areas? And that forced association is a very, very powerful form of brainstorming. So that would be one for sure. Another one that I recommend for professionals is, do a hypothetical. Infuse your business with $5 million of capital that you have to use exclusively towards growing your business. Now, you don't have that capital, but it's an exercise of what would you do if you were given $5 million of capital exclusively for growing the business? How would you use it for marketing? And then work backwards, because a lot of the ideas that we come up with actually don't involve $5 million of capital, but that's a barrier that we use. That's an obstacle. I don't have that kind of money. I can't do a national television campaign. But once we actually get to the core of why, then we're able to change the game.
That's great.
Thank you.
Hey, Eric, if you're up for it, we have two quick Facebook questions for you.
Lay it on me.
Okay. We have one from a new ASI supplier. His name's Phil Foss, and he's wondering, who were the graffiti artists that influenced you when you were getting into graffiti?
Well, they were the early game changers for me were Shepard Fairey, Banksy, Invader, a couple of the kind of grandfathers that put graffiti on the map. And that's where it forced me to do my own homework. You know, graffiti's just been a word. The term graffiti has just been a word that's been hijacked in the last 100 years by vandals and criminals. That actually is a word that dates back. That's how we captured our history on cave walls, told our story, shared our story. And it's been hijacked as with negative connotations. So I think for me, it's a matter of reclaiming that word, disrupting people's thought process, and not only having them rethink graffiti, have them rethink leadership, have them rethink customer service, have them rethink art, creativity. All of these words that we've kind of locked in, feel like we know it, we've already done it. Harvard Business School already wrote the review on it, so there's no more thinking to be done. No, that's an old school model. How do we push the envelope in every one of these areas? Because every one of them stands for change.
That's great. And lastly, we have a question from Eric Campbell, who's a distributor in the industry, and he'd like to ask you if you think it's important for, you know, executives, CEOs of companies to take an art class. Would you recommend that?
I'm not going to not recommend it. I would recommend it, but for the same reason I would recommend that they take an improv class, that they would take a ballroom dancing class, that they would take a creative writing class. It's not the art itself, it's the process. So sure, take an art class, but redefine your definition of art. Allow a poem to your spouse or significant other to stand for that art. You don't need to get in a formulaic class, although that pattern discipline would be good. But create your own art class where one week it's sculpture with Plato, the next week it's crayons, the next week it's writing, the next week it's dancing. Create your own autonomous schedule, but stick to it.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, Eric. And if you're on the West Coast and you're at the ASI Long Beach Show, you can see Eric live and in person on Thursday, March 27th at 9:30 in the morning doing the keynote session where he will no doubt inspire, motivate, and enlighten the audience. Thanks so much, Eric.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on board. I appreciate it. Look forward to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Great.
Bye-bye. And now we're going to go to a commercial from our show sponsor, Hanes.
Where is starting the new year with a new website. Designed for promotional product distributors and screen printers alike, HanesInc.com features high-res product and lifestyle images, marketing materials, videos, upsell techniques, and helpful tips to help you increase your ROI. Our new website allows you to search for products based on colors or product line. Our wholesaler section helpfully lists all products that companies carry, as well as wholesaler contact information. HanesInc.com provides the best tools to sell quality products. Hanes is also proud to unveil the Nano Collection, complete with brand new vintage colors and new styles such as lightweight, ring spun, flash, and fleece. If retail fashion is what your customers seek, the Nano Collection is where they'll find it. Cheap shirts are cheap. Hanes shirts are better. Visit www.hanesinc.com.
Well, thank you, Ms. Kathy Houston.
I heard a little Jersey girl in there.
That
it was my Jersey coming out.
It was awesome.
You know what? I love that Eric Wall, and I'm going to go back to my office and write a poem to Steve.
Are you going to rhyme alcohol and booze?
Beer.
Beer.
My dear.
My dear.
Holy Lord.
I thought he was great.
He was great.
Yeah.
Totally great.
Super, super energetic, cool guy.
Right now we have our pal, Captain Killjoy, Andy Cohen, on line two to give us a little overview of the ASI Long Beach show. Good morning, Captain Killjoy.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're great. You sound so far
away. You sound hungover. All right, it was a good night already.
You know, I get inspired by Kathy's voice reading that ad. Yeah.
So what's going on today in Long Beach, Andy?
We have Education Day starting at noon today. So there's some sessions that there's two tracks, distributor success track and a marketing and social media track. So there's all sorts of sessions all day long, all afternoon long regarding those two. As you guys know, we have Eric Wall, who's going to be joining us here in a couple days as the keynote speaker. How was he this morning?
He was great.
Awesome. He was awesome. Actually, yeah. we have a comment from our friend Stanley Appleman, who is in California, same as you, Andy, and he says, Eric was one of the best guests ever. The ability to bring in your own personal talents to inspire creativity to help and let your clients bring out their own.
Well, very good, awesome. Stanley.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to him. I think that he's going to be a just total creative inspiration, which – the audience here will certainly appreciate. Of course, I would be remiss if I did not also say that we have the Joe Show Live here.
Oh, my God. Is he standing next to you giving you a five?
Yeah, really.
He's not, but he would appreciate it.
I heard it's a really good program.
The Joe Show Live is blowing up. It's huge.
Andy, are you teaching a class,
The Joe
Andy?
Show Live is... no, I'm not. I am off for this show. I will be hosting a room, though, so if anybody would like to see me in action, you can see
what?
Me this afternoon.
Free trip to California. Good deal. Yeah, especially because it's going to snow
exactly.
Today. Yeah.
That's great. Well, thanks for calling in, Andy, and have a great show and tell everyone we said hi.
No problem. All right, guys. Hang in there.
Andy.
I wish I was there to see Andy in action in that room.
Because he is the king of inaction, really. Yeah. He just kind of moves at a glacial pace. That's why we love Andy.
Wow. Andy's not even here to defend himself.
Kathy, tell us how to exit a sales call with grace.
Oh, yeah. You know, so many times when you initially call a prospect, they're not really ready to buy, and you figure that out quite quickly. So a clean exit is needed. And Sam Parker of JustSell.com recommends every salesperson invest some time outside of the money hours to create a few solid and polite exit statements. And here are a couple of his examples. For one, you could say, at the moment, I'm not sure we can provide enough value to you, but I'd like to keep in touch should things change, and then ask to keep in touch with them periodically. Or say, that sounds like an exciting project. We may be a little early in our discussions, given all your priorities. What if I call you in a couple of months? And then finally, you could say, wow, you really have your hands full. Perhaps we should talk again in a few months and let you focus on these other priorities. And then ask to add them to the company newsletter.
Nice. There's also that app that makes your phone ring on cue.
Oh.
And you can be like, oh.
There is? I need
I
it.
I have.
What's that app?
I forget the name of it. I can look it up.
Tell us, and we'll have Vinny put it online.
I'll have it Googled. Yeah, but
I think everybody needs that.
Makes your phone ring.
So Jake, talk to us about some lessons companies have learned from rebranding mistakes. Who has rebranded the wrong way? Give us an idea.
Coca-Cola.
Remember
New Coke?
Yeah,
that was a bad idea. Don't fix what's not broken. And then if we. I got nothing here.
Two for one today.
I got nothing here. Some other things on here. There's a bunch that I didn't recognize, but then they said there's a lesson in here about names being understandable. And Amazon was brought up, and it was said that Amazon was thought to be, you know, one of the largest bodies of the rivers on Earth. And so it represented this really massive store. Avoid initials, it says. It also says don't make names like Kraft split off and made a Mondelez, which was their kind of offshoot brand, and it meant world and delicious, but no one really understood it, so they kind of let it go, and it didn't really fly. Also, Philip Morris renamed itself Alteria to try to combat any negative smoking things when they were trying to get into the food marketing area, and that didn't work out too well. Some other lessons are, you know, if you expand, make sure that you have your name and your logos kind of expand with you, and then respect your heritage. Don't let it get in the way of relevant and compelling branding that you've done before. Shoot.
Why no initials, says the ask the editor of SGR.
So it doesn't say avoid initials. It says avoid initials unless you're a big player with an enormous marketing budget or a really respected name, kind of like SGR. Everyone knows SGR. In the industry, though, I would say that, you know, out of magazines, you're still a larger magazine.
Because I can think for sure of some Fortune 500 companies that go by just their initials.
GE,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. IBM, SAP. Mm-hmm. But those are all big players with really big marketing budgets. But if we were to say, I don't have a good example of another initial that wasn't widely recognized, but perhaps it's better to use your full name until you are widely recognized.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Staying on the marketing topic, Chris, why don't you tell us about why most brands aren't prepared to manage customer complaints on social media? And boy, isn't that the truth. You always read about, you know, a company does something, they get blasted on social media, and they're just not prepared for the onslaught of comments.
So everybody, you know, I think by now is aware that there's good potential upside to being engaged with your customers or prospective audiences on social media. However, there's a downside, too. It's another way that people can contact you with their complaints. And if you don't have a framework in place for how you're going to respond to those complaints, you could really annoy some people and potentially lose customers. And there's a study that came out that basically said that most people, if they complain on social media, they expect a response from you within an hour. However, only about 21% of companies actually respond within that hour. And even more startling, 21% will never respond at all, and only 17% will respond within that hour.
That's a burden for – I mean, an hour is something.
24 hours seems
it's,
fair.
It's – I think the next – very well put, the next part of that would be that if you can do it within 24 hours, you're still probably not going to lose that person.
You have to respond.
Yeah, but there has to be some level of response.
You have to respond.
Even if it's even if something comes in and you don't have an answer right away, you shoot something out there saying, got your response, checking into it now, we're going to get back to you as soon as we can. Even if you could give a more definite time frame than that, like going to get back to you within 2 hours with another update, that will make people – that will assuage them, so to speak.
Because at least they know somebody's listening.
Right.
It's not, you know, in the
Right.
The
they don't just feel like they're being ignored. They feel like they're being taken seriously, and that's, of course, what every customer wants.
So companies really need to have a dedicated person who's monitoring social media and moderating it, and I don't know if they do at this point.
many don't.
I think, you know, that's interesting. You know, that's one of the must-haves. You must have a strategic approach to social media now,
mm-hmm.
especially if you want to be a relevant company. You just have to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if you'd have to go so far. I mean, depending on the size of your company, you wouldn't necessarily have to have one person who's just there to handle complaints. But you do now start to have to add that the takeaway is you have to have that customer service component to your social media campaign.
I think nowadays. A lot of customer service departments are taking on that role now too.
Yes.
The more that I see it, it is customer service is falling into a much more social media type. They're using it a lot more.
Spot on.
That's great. Yeah. We're going to pause and go to a commercial from our second show sponsor. And when we come back, we will do our favorite segment, the host favorite products of the week.
At ASI, we know that education is the key to success. So we're excited to announce our newly reimagined online learning center. Log in and test the all-new intuitive interface. Share photos, stories, and communicate with other ASI members who are learning along with you. Expand your knowledge with wikis, discussion boards, and more than 350 courses, which include valuable marketing and sales information. And for your convenience, the Online Learning Center now uses a single sign-on access like your other ASI services. Best of all, it's free. Become an industry expert and see what's new on the ASI Online Learning Center at www.asicentral.com/online learning.
Joe Haley,
do we have to listen to Joe even when he's not here? Really?
Our favorite things. Who's got the coolest favorite thing?
Me.
Let's start with them. Kathy Houston.
Mine is called the Bum Box, and it's a box for your bum, literally.
I'm going to need more than that. Okay. Explain.
It's a pop-up seat that folds flat, has a handle for carrying, and you take it like to, you know, stadiums for bleachers, blah, blah, blah. It's a portable seat, and it's from Gill Line, ASI 56590. And look up the YouTube video that they did for it. You'll feel like you're on an acid trip.
Wow. Hi,
as Jake and Michelle perk up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The bum box, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's good. Mine their is
video,
not in...
Excuse me. Their video is, what does the bum box say? Like, what does the fox say?
It talks?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
No, not really, but look it up, Jake.
Wow.
That's really funny. I'm intrigued by a video like that from
me. Exactly.
Gil.
Yeah, look it up.
That's cool. Mine
Jakey.
Is not. Mine's a product outside the industry. I've actually found this. It's boxed water.
Of course.
You're not supposed to do that, Jake.
Jake is a disruptive innovator.
Yes, seriously.
Boxed water. Water in like milk carton boxes. Boxed water is better.com.
Yeah.
I liked it.
You know,
I thought it was cool.
Canadians drink their milk out of bags. I'm just saying.
What? Do they drink their wine out of boxes like Joe Haley?
It's
the best kind.
Collapsible bags. That's how they drink their milk.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
How do you buy it then? How does it sit on the shelf?
It's picture like a Sunkissed juice bag.
Oh,
those things. That's what their milk
like
looks
juice
like.
Boxes.
Yeah, but it's a squishy bag.
Like
squishy
Capri
bag.
Sun.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love Capri Sun.
Be a fun experience.
So who does the box water?
Boxwaterisbetter.com.
Uh-huh. Chris Ruvo.
I can't beat acid trips or boxed water, but I'll try with barbecuing, camping season's coming around, and the Hunt Valley barbecue set is an outdoorsman's must-have with its spatula, fork, tongs, and poly canvas camouflage carrying case. It's available from Leeds, 66887. Product number 0045-53.
Wow, they need to pay you for that commercial.
That was very well done.
But it is cool.
The real radio guy.
So you can see all of our products at asicentral.com/radio. Thank you for listening today. Thank you to Eric Wall, our keynoter at the Long Beach Show. Thanks to our team behind the scenes, Facebook, Vinnie Driscoll, Lauren Medina, and Kathleen Fitzgerald, who's celebrating her one-year anniversary with
huzzah,
ASI
huzzah,
today.
Huzzah!
Tune in next week when Melinda, Joe, Andy will be back joining Kathy and I. And have a great week.
Cheerio.